The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for joining us today, tonight, this morning, whenever you're listening. Happy Wednesday. Happy Yawa.
You ask, we answer. This is our favorite episode to do every month. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I sang that. I tend to sing things often. Do you sing things?
And then I annoy myself. No, I do. I do. Mostly when I'm really frustrated with my kids and they make fun of me about it.
You sing to them?
Yeah. Like if I've said like the same thing, like put your shoes on a million times, then I'll be like, put your shoes on, you are killing me. And then they'll think that that's really funny and it'll sort of get their attention, but mostly it just gives them something to make fun of me about later when their dad's like, how was your day, guys? Were you nice to mom? Were you good? Were you nice to mom? And they'll be like, she's saying about us putting our shoes on and finding our backpacks and making our beds. It was so funny.
Oh, see, my kids get annoyed with me. They're like, mom, stop. Because I do it all the time.
That's probably next. Your kids are a little bit older, so they're more sophisticated in their...
Oh, they're so... They get so annoyed with me.
...criticism of you.
Like, any word that reminds me of a song, like a song that I know... Because, you know, pretty much every phrase we say now has been in some song somehow. You know?
Yeah, you're a big like singer-alonger.
I am?
Yeah, like in the car?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I do. I sing. Anyway, so Yawa.
I have a housekeeping announcement, and that is about consulting, because we did some this a couple days ago.
You did.
I did, but I did. So I did several this past weekend, but we did together for a patron.
Which was
fun. And it was, one of our groom listeners and a patron for several months now. And he was with his fiance and they were like shoulder to shoulder in this video chat, three-way, four-way thing we were doing, for consulting. And I felt like it was helpful for them and kind of gave me a little bit of pep in my step for the rest of the day, because it felt like good, you know, like it felt like good to answer someone's questions in a way that they're actually like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. We hadn't thought about that. You know, now we'll make our decision a little differently or whatever. So I felt, grateful that we were able to do that. I feel like that every time we do consulting. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you to him. And also,
Chris.
Hoping that more of you, if you want consulting, feel free to email us, because it's really easy. It does not take a long time to set up, and it's a pretty streamlined process to get us talking face to face through the video chat. And I really liked it. I like it. I like doing it.
I like it too. It's fun, and it's fun to get to know our listeners, and then like, excuse me, and then really hear the nitty gritty. Like we get your emails and we imagine what you might look like and we imagine what the wedding's going to be like. But then it's not once you start talking to somebody in real time and you ask those specific questions that you really get the whole full
story.
Yeah,
because there's so much backstory a lot of times. Of course, because it's personal, you know? So the more we know about your family or your step siblings or whatever, you know, the more we know, then the better advice we can give. So it feels personal and it feels just, I don't know, like uplifting.
Was Alvaro the one we were talking to when they mentioned the friend was doing the catering and...
Right, and automatically you were like, bad idea, you better get a contract, this is going to be a disaster. Well, and then they were like, well...
I didn't say that, but in my mind I thought that, and I was like, do you have a contract? And he's like, no.
And then they were like, he's like and a Michelin award winning... yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was like... an honor that this chef. It turned into a completely different scenario than
which we
have.
We
a
wouldn't have known.
We're
that.
Trying to save money. No, we wouldn't have known that. Just by an email, we wouldn't have known that. We would have thought it's you're trying to save money, and you've got this friend who owns a restaurant, and he verbally said he's going to do the food for you, but you have no idea of the logistics or anything like that. Whereas this guy, sorry guys, I'm getting over a. really awful head cold. Whereas this bride and groom was like, when we probed more, we found out this is a Michelin star chef. This is an honor that he's doing the wedding.
And he's like in business with the parents. Like, he's not going to ghost them.
Yes. He's not going to go anywhere. And I was like, oh, I'm like, okay. Still thought you should get something in writing, though. I did still say that.
Yes, of course. We still had advice. We could just focus it a little more in on their actual scenario.
Yeah, because it was, you know, we could get more specific. And then anyway, it was a prime example of how, yes, we'll answer your emails when you send them to us, but if we want to get deep and get down into it, that just goes to show that there's so much more that happens in real time speaking with somebody for 2 hours to really, really get give that great advice and like really make a difference in their planning.
So we feel invested, and I feel really grateful to be doing that. And I would love, love, love to do more of it and help more people. So just let us know, email us,
hit us up.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to read some iTunes reviews. And if I don't sound as excited as I usually am, it's because I let somebody get me.
Yeah,
down,
I was going to tell you, you cannot, you got to put the wind back in your sails on this. This is one of your favorite things to do.
I love, you guys.
You do not let them ruin this.
I love them. But it's just, okay, anyway, it happens, okay? We cannot make everybody happy, and we don't want to make everybody happy. You know, like.
We are who we are. This shit is free.
Okay, so let me read it. I'm going to read it because I'm going to read it. Okay. It's our first one, you guys. Okay. The title is Bad Podcasting.
You guys, I have to say.
One star.
We got this, and I told Michelle immediately, we have got to read this on, we have got to read it. So it took a little bit of convincing, and now she's going to do it. And I think we all need to give her a big virtual hug and round of applause for biting the bullet and reading this, because I think it's amazing. And I'll tell you why afterwards, but please, I won't even tell you why. I'll just respond.
Okay. Bad Podcasting, one star by the original Drew Hill. All you do is read reviews about yourself and give almost no useful advice. I had to skip 30 minutes into one of your podcasts just to get to anything worth listening. Spoiler alert, it's not worth listening to. Boo, with lots of O's.
And an exclamation point.
So... we don't give any useful advice, and we only read reviews. Okay, that's your opinion. Everybody's entitled. They're like assholes. Everybody has one.
Here's the thing. He and I think it's a he, not just because of the name, but I looked at all the other podcasts he's reviewed. This person has reviewed. And he's kind of snarky about some other ones, too. And they seemed, and I'm being stereotypical here, but it seems together it was a combination of podcasts that a dude would listen to. Maybe it's not a dude. I don't care. Man or woman, don't be a dick.
I will not insult you, Drew Hill, but I will say that, yeah, it is, you know, we actually do give a lot of really useful advice, and I'm sorry that we turned you off by reading the reviews from our loyal listeners who we love so much and want to give a shout out to. And, you know, it is what it is, man. So appreciate your feedback, and but I don't know that we're going to, you know, I mean.
It took the wind out of your sails a little bit for these reviews.
It did for a minute, but then, you know what? Right behind it, the same day, was an amazing review written, and right below it was an amazing review. So we are going to get people. There's people that don't like us. That's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, who are you trying to convince?
I don't need to be liked by everybody, and this podcast is not for anyone. It's for anyone involved in planning a wedding.
Okay? You have to be involved, jerk. Okay.
Drew, are you involved in
planning a wedding? Drew, are you even planning a wedding?
Oh, Drew.
I'm going to, because it took the wind out of Michelle's sails for a second, and she even considered not reading reviews anymore, because what if it does annoy people? And I texted, we do a lot of texting. We really only like to talk to each other when we're recording. Actually talk. But I was texting back, and I made a decision right then and there that I was going to have to make up for your lack of enthusiasm because you've been wounded. So I'm going to be as happy now to read these reviews as you usually are. It's time for reviews. They're my favorite thing. Yay, you guys make me so happy. Okay, here's review number one. It's called Love the Advice 5 stars by someone named Virgokel. I started casually listening here and there after getting engaged in September, and I've gathered really great ideas from your advice to others. Thanks. Well, that's short and sweet.
I like that. That's a nice short, sweet, to the point. Period. Okay. End of story. Thank you, Virgokel.
Number two.
Thank you.
Love this podcast. 5 stars by September Days. That sounds like a stripper name. I think I might know who this listener is. I love this podcast. I always laugh and sometimes cry, but each time I learn something new, I can't wait for the next one.
Three Very exclamation
good. Another
marks.
Short and sweet. See,
thank you, September
True,
Days.
It doesn't even take that long. And then the last one for this month was from Cater Tot. Doesn't that sound like the cutest little pet name, probably?
Yeah, that is, because I love Tater Tots, and maybe
her
name's
Kate. We do love Tater Tots, but I think her name's probably Kate.
Especially, yeah, it must be Kate. But you know what I really love is
Truffle oil
Tater Tots.
Well, we had duck fat ones, too, in Nashville. Do you remember that?
Yes, we did. That was so good in Nashville. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm getting married in September 2019, and I've been listening for the last few months. I've been so thankful to have this resource at my fingertips, as I find that wedding planning has its moments of fun and stressful moments. I feel like Christy and Michelle are there to guide me through these phases with grace and fun and the best professional advice out there. Knowing that they've experienced so many weddings and styles means that they've got the answers I'm looking for. When wedding planning becomes a tiring subject for my friends and family to listen to, I feel like I have 2 friends ready to jump in and talk me down from the ledge whenever I get overwhelmed. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and advice every week. Boom! That's so nice, right, Michelle? Doesn't that make you feel good?
It does make me feel good. And I'm going to say one more thing to you all. I really value and appreciate you all taking the time to write reviews. And I am appreciative of the negative as well. We need constructive criticism. If you have any, email us and let us know, seriously, what you think could make this show better. We are all ears, by the way. I mean, I am not going to shun anyone or you know, talk badly about you. I appreciate your feedback constructively. So if anybody has any suggestions, email us. Please do. And Drew, whoever you are, the original Drew Hill, thank you for that feedback. Negative or positive, we do appreciate you all taking the time. And this is not going to jade anything for me. I love the reviews.
I'm not as enthusiastic about the negative review because I feel like you can't throw stones in a free podcasting house of glass, but whatever.
Well, not yes, stones. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if there is constructive criticism, email us, let us know, because we can
complain about something, or you can say, I don't like that you guys read reviews. It doesn't mean we're going to stop reading reviews. Maybe if we got 1,000 emails... telling us that.
Oh, yeah, but, there's
yeah,
no
whatever.
Way.
Thank you for your comment. I don't care.
And we cap it at 4. We don't always read 4, but we've been getting more. And we cap it at 4 because any more than that is okay. Too much. Not for me. I'll read them every day.
Thank you, one and all. And I would like to note that I'm on Twitter as the podcast. We talked about that, but I also have a personal account on Twitter. It's not like a secret hidden account. You can find me if you want to, but it's where I am more, like political and activist minded. It's why I'll never get voted into public office. Cause somebody could look back at my tweets and be like, look at what she wrote or retweeted. It's just like totally crazy, crazy liberal style. Okay. But I recently on Twitter, this was like the same week as this bad review. So I feel like it's just, they made me irrationally happy. So I was on Twitter and I retweeted something from like Beto O'Rourke or somebody amazing and awesome. And the next time I logged into Twitter, at the top of my page, it said, this guy, I don't even know who it was, has added you to his group. And the group, and then the group had a name, but I guess on Twitter, that's how you like organize. You could put people into groups if you're following them to organize, like, I don't know, work friends or political friends. But the name of the group was Dumbest Cunt on Earth.
Oh, yeah, I was like, I didn't understand this.
And I laughed so hard when I saw that because I was like, oh, ouch, I've been added to this group. And then I looked at the group and it was like a bunch of amazing and awesome people in there. Like Jake Tapper was in it and like, you know, like stars that I follow and politicians that I believe in. And so, you know, that just goes to show you somebody put me in this group to like insult me or to flag my Twitter account. But I thought it was hilarious. Yes,
can't they just not follow you?
But I thought that was hilarious. I also think the review from the original Drew Hill is hilarious. So that was my week of social media comedy and commentary. So come at me. I don't care.
Oh my, she's on fire.
All right. Fire. We have four questions today and three of them.
We better get to this because we're almost at 19 minutes, Christy. Oh my God. Drew's going to write another review.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Three of them are pretty simple answers. Yes. I felt like that's why I included the fourth.
I'll read the question because you answered. Yeah.
Yeah. The first three.
Email one, holiday weekend. My fiance and I got engaged a few weeks ago. We were decorating the Christmas tree and he made a bulb ornament and hung the ring inside. We really want to have our wedding the summer/fall of 2019, but seem to be having difficulty with Saturday availabilities. My fiance is originally from Colorado and most of his guests will be traveling to Minnesota for our wedding. Therefore, a Saturday or long weekend would work best. What are your thoughts and experiences with hosting a wedding on Labor Day weekend? Do you think the attendance increases or decreases? Any advice will help. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Did you shorten that?
Did I shorten it?
Yeah.
I think I just took out her like, hi, love you guys, first beginning part, but not anything else. It was her only issue. Nice. Yeah. Most of the time when we get one question, we get 10, like one email will have 10 questions in it. This one was very just to the point.
Yeah.
Okay. So as for the wedding date, oh, also cute proposal story, little ring in the ornament.
I know that's cute. Yeah, I like that.
Really cute. If you have photos of that, send them to us and we'll share them. Okay. As far as the wedding date, a Labor Day weekend wedding date is very popular. It's definitely one of the busiest weekends for the wedding industry. And I can speak to that from the Bay Area and also Dallas-Fort Worth. So I'm assuming most of the country. I think it's a great time since you want guests that have, they have a padded weekend as they travel in. They have an extra day off. I think the important part is that you get out your official save the dates as soon as possible if you're going to do that weekend. I don't think attendance increases or decreases at all one way or the other because it's a holiday weekend. It's more because you got the word out too late and people were already making plans or can't ask for that weekend off, like service industry people or something like that. So if you do a Sunday of Labor Day weekend and you get those postcards or emails for save the date out as quickly as possible, people will have time to plan for the trip. Also, a side note, I myself got married on Labor Day weekend, and I think since I got married 10 years ago, I've done a wedding on Labor Day weekend half of those years. So it is popular. You also have to keep in mind, and I didn't write this in the email, but if it's a 3-day weekend, but it's a holiday weekend, and you're maybe trying to save a little bit of money by not doing it on a Saturday, most places it'll still be just as expensive because they know it's a 3-day weekend. They've planned for that.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend. Everything's going to be at a premium.
Yeah, even hotels, Ubers.
Travel for your guests. Yeah. It's going to be pricey, but...
Yeah, and it was. I remember when I planned my own wedding, I felt like, are my cousins from the East Coast going to be able to fly in? It's Labor Day weekend. And I was pleasantly surprised that most people we invited made it. So I would not bet on... a higher like RSVP no rate than usual. People that want to come to your wedding will make it work. Just get the save the dates out soon.
I was gonna say because we're in December now, so
send them today.
Do it right now.
Just mass text everyone.
Send a mass text. No, I was gonna say they're not getting a year out, advance notice.
The sooner the better.
Yeah. And also, not only is it Labor Day weekend, it's double whammy because September is the most, at least in most states, the most popular wedding month of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the weather is always usually pretty awesome and mellow in September. Usually. Perhaps.
And all right. Labor Day weekend is a great anniversary weekend also. I will say that. So... congratulations.
Yeah, you take a long weekend. You got days off for the rest of your years married. You can totally easily take a little vacay or a staycay.
Yeah.
Email 2, mixing traditions. I'm so excited to be engaged. My fiance and I come from two very difficult. My fiance and I come from two very different cultures. He's from Spain and I'm American. So I'm really excited to see our two cultures mix on the big day and beyond. Since my fiance is Spanish, I'm learning some different approaches to weddings. There, people don't have a bridal party or wedding party. Instead, the family helps out with the planning and day of stuff. I'm not set on having a bridal party, but I do have friends that I want to be involved in sharing our big day. I'm just not sure how to approach it if his family is unfamiliar with this tradition. We are planning on having the ceremony and reception here, but then doing a mini vow renewal / honeymoon send-off party in Spain for the family that can't come out. OMG, that sounds so fun. I want to go. I totally appreciate your guidance. Thanks. Kelsey, P.S. Your podcasting is helping my wedding anxiety so much. Keep doing what you're doing, helping so many brides and grooms. Aw, thanks, Kelsey.
And then I answered, hi, congratulations. Thank you for listening to the podcast and reaching out. We're so glad you find it helpful and like us. Since your wedding will be here in the States, I think it's fine to do all the traditional, quote, American things that you want to do and maybe incorporate Spanish traditions, style, or decor in different ways. Let his friends and family that want to be sponsors in on the planning if you can. Usually they bring an item for the ceremony or pay for some aspect of the wedding, like the cake. You can divvy up things little by little as you find out more people want to be involved and still plan the wedding yourself for the most part, if that's what you want. For anyone on his side that helps or is a VIP or part of the ceremony in any way, make sure that you order a corsage or boutonniere for them. If you want to have actual bridesmaids in addition to that, you should. And if you don't want to, then you can involve your best friends by having them get ready with you in the morning, greet guests as they arrive, have assigned seats at the ceremony along with your parents and grandparents, maybe do a reading, stand up to hold your bouquet or give the rings, and of course, toast at the reception. You can tell them that they mean the world to you, but you are foregoing the traditional wedding party situation and you want to enlist wedding VIPs instead to include more of his friends and family into the mix. I strongly suggest doing a rehearsal dinner or open like meet and greet for your closest friends and family to get to know each other before the wedding day. This way, the mingling will be farther along at the reception. For the party in Spain, What fun. Let his mom and dad take the lead if they want to. And if you can bring photos or video of the wedding here to the party in Spain, I think that would be a really nice touch.
Yeah.
I think a lot of weddings, like cultural or not, are not doing big wedding parties. And there's mm-hmm. still, like I listed off, a whole bunch of ways that you can involve the people that would have been in your wedding party if you were going to have a wedding party. That's why I call them the VIPs, you know, your best friends and family. There's a myriad of ways for them to be involved. And then you can, on top of that, get some of your groom's friends and family in as well. And I just mentioned the corsages or the boutonnieres because that's been my experience with weddings that I've done that had a bunch of sponsors, whether it was, you know, Mexican or Filipino or Catholic with the ceremony. That the way that you say thank you is by honoring them and giving them something that shows everybody that they were a part of.
Part of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, I think his family is coming to the States for the wedding, but you know, we have, this is a melting pot of a country in case you haven't heard. And it's really awesome to incorporate those cultural traditions, you know, like the arras, and if in Spain they do the lasso, I don't know. But don't be afraid to do that. And also, I saw that you put this in the notes here, Christy, the consulting call we had with one of our members, we were talking about how his family is Hispanic and they don't speak much English. And I did this in my ceremony as well. We had part of the ceremony in Spanish, part of it in English. So whether that's two people up there, one English speaking, one Spanish speaking, officiating the ceremony, or just one person who speaks both languages that can do part of it in each language. I mean, I think it'd be great to incorporate those traditions here as well as when you're in Spain doing some American traditions and showing that off. I mean, people like to see that. You know, the logistics of the planning, yeah, I mean, culturally it's done very differently. So definitely let his family do their thing. It's very important. It's very important to the family to take part in this tradition and this special time in different countries for many reasons. But I think it's awesome that you get to have two celebrations in two countries. I'm so excited for you. And definitely send us photos because I want to see. And I'm very curious to know where in Spain your fiancé is from. Cause I went to Barcelona a couple of years ago and I just, fell in love Spain.
Okay. Oh, we interrupt our questions now.
We interrupt
this episode as the last several Yawa episodes is brought to you by our sponsor and favorite wedding website, planning tools, all of that. Zola.com. Zola.
You're like, Zola.
Zola in the house.
Zola. What up, Zola?
Hey, give us a rundown.
Zola makes wedding planning easy. They are the wedding company that will do anything for love. They started out as just a registry, but they have grown to so much more. If you have a wedding website, we hope it's with Zola, because they have hundreds of designs, customizable. If you don't have a wedding website, you must get over there right now, zola.com/bigwedding, for your wedding website and your registry and your guest list management tools. This is all free, by the way, you guys. They're not charging you for this. And I mean, it couldn't be any better of a service. And we have personal experience. We've ordered off of Zola.
Our clients work with Zola.
The shipping is fast. Our clients work with Zola. Personal clients, as well as a lot of you listening now, are using Zola. There's so many perks to this. They carry so many brands, first of all. It's like going to any major department store. It's like going to several department stores. They have excellent customer service. You can return, free shipping. They price match. You could do a honeymoon fund. You can register for gift cards like airlines like Delta, Southwest. And they have a lot of helpful tools to guide you through the entire registry process. It's very user-friendly. Also, after the wedding, anything that does not get gifted to you on the registry, you get 20% off. So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, if you've been shacking up for a while and you don't need like a new blender or household items, but you want to go on a kick-ass honeymoon or have a little mini moon right after your wedding, then register for that stuff and get that paid for. Guests love to pay for experiences. So hit them up, Zola, ZOLA.com/bigwedding, and you won't be sorry.
Thank you, Zola.
Okay. Next email. This is the third one.
Number three, design questions. Hope you're both well. I am a fairly new listener to your podcast and already a big fan. I've been blitzing through episodes on my commute, so thank you for making the New York City subway bearable. Ah, New York! I have a design question that's maybe a bit specific, but would love any and all insight you can offer. I am getting married at a really cute boutique hotel in Miami called the Betsy next November. Most of the major vendors and decisions have been locked in, and I'm feeling good about things. I'm pretty decisive and like to choose what feels best and move on. Okay, love her already.
Love that. I think it might be a groom.
Oh, love him already.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay, well.
It might be. Love this 50-50. Person.
It could either be a boy or girl or maybe, you know what?
In between.
It's just a person.
It's a human being.
It's a human. Okay. But I'm struggling a bit now with the little details. In particular, the table design and rentals. That's a struggle. Included with our venue's catering fee, we get rentals of basic tables and chairs. We have a choice of shivari, folding, and a few other standard options. And plain linens. Okay, so they get basic tables, chairs, plain linens, and a range of shades. But basic shivaris are not basic chairs, by the way. Those are upgraded.
Yeah, that's a pretty good venue options. So they
probably have folding for ceremony, shivari for dinner. But now I am concerned that within the space, this might look a bit cookie cutter or nondescript. I absolutely love my florist who is going for a more bohemian tropical vibe and want to make sure the rest of the decor matches this level of vibes. Basically, my question is, if we were to upgrade one of these rentals, chairs, linens, flatware, or adding chargers, which do you think would give us the most bang for our buck? For example, it is $8 per chair to get the ghost chairs I love, which is way higher than I had been anticipating. But we could get blush velvet napkins. Well, velvet. For $500 or switch to matte gold flatware instead of the standard silver for around the same. One tabletop vendor has marble chargers that I love that would be around $400 to rent. We can't afford to add all of these items to our wedding budget, but if we were to pick one or two, which would make the most impact? This is a good question.
We don't get a lot like this because it's like they've already done all the hard work. This is the fun stuff.
For the record, I realize we have tons of time to make these decisions and that in the grand scheme of things, this is the definition of a champagne problem. I haven't seen much about upgrading table settings and rentals on the blogs I read, so figured I would go to the source. Thanks for reading and for all you do. Oh, I love this. Did I not answer? I felt like I didn't answer this, huh? You did.
I answered it and I really loved reading it. Had the same reaction that you had, which is like, yeah, good question. And also it is squarely in our wheelhouse to answer this question because the reason you haven't seen this on blogs much is because if you're looking at blogs and Pinterest and Instagram, the answer would be spend $10,000 and add it all. And that's not realistic. And that's not generally the clients that Michelle or I work with. We work with clients who actually have to decide, I want to upgrade one of these four things. Which should I upgrade? Which, you know, most bang for your buck, like you said. So the answer, you know, we've answered this before. We got this. So I said, these are the decisions that really help to personalize your wedding, so I'm so glad you asked. First off, a good rule of thumb when deciding about bang for your buck, which I'm all about, is to think about what areas of the event will be photographed the most. The altar, the head table, the cake table, things like that. Spend more money on those. And also a note about the head table, it's photographed more than the other tables, but also you spend more time there. The head table, the sweetheart table, you know, wherever you're going to sit. That's where you're sitting. That's your view for the reception. So spend more money on that. And also, not every table has to match. If y'all are doing a sweetheart or a head table, do it up. Do it up there. You can mix in shivaris and ghost chairs, especially if clear or silver shivaris are an option. They look great with ghost chairs.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
Oh, that was so Kanye of you. I'm going to let you finish. Okay. Maybe you do ghost chairs on the most central tables in the room. I don't know how many tables or what your guest count is. Or you, if you have a long head table, maybe if it's two-sided, you just do ghost chairs on that table. It'll be photographed before you sit, and it'll be photographed a lot once you're seated, since the toasts are usually done near the head table or sweetheart table. You can also do the chargers that you had in mind, the marble chargers, on the head table only as well. On a more specific note, I don't think that flatware makes a big difference in the overall design of a room. It's not enough to justify the cost in this case, in my opinion. I think linens make a very big statement in a room, as does lighting. I love velvet napkins, and if you can afford to do that on all the tables, great. You could also do just a few full velvet linens for the special tables, like cocktail highboys, cake table, maybe the welcome table. Then you're incorporating a cohesive design without spending a ton for every single table to be draped in velvet. In place of chargers, maybe you should consider a bright goblet at every place setting. It's probably going to be comparable in price. And since it doesn't lay flat on the table, it makes more of a statement in the overall look of the room.
Nice, I like that.
And I included pictures when I wrote this listener back. Pictures of not just that I found, but of weddings that I've done that had specialty napkins or chargers, a mix of expensive linens and basic linens. And also showed them what the like vintage colorful goblets are that I'm talking about. You know, the like glass, they're colored the glass and they have a pattern. Yes, they have like a pattern on them. Those as water goblets at every single place setting, even if you do a mix of colors, those can make a really cool look. So I sent pictures of what I was talking about. You know, if you really like velvet, but you can't afford to have velvet everywhere, incorporate velvet ribbon here and there. Maybe tie it around menus. It looks great. People touch it. It's tactile. And it might tie into maybe the only other velvet linen you have, which is at the cake table.
I would go velvet ribbon over velvet napkin, not even for price-wise, because I don't want to wipe my mouth on a velvet napkin. Sorry.
I like to wipe my butt with a velvet napkin.
Well, my ass is different. That might feel nice. But I'm just going to smear the food. Like, that's, to me, velvet is not functional. But the velvet ribbon is a really cute idea. I like that.
It looked so good. It was a winter wedding that did this, that I did their design too. So it was one of those, I don't do a lot of design for weddings where I take the whole concept and incorporate it all from the beginning. And I did for this wedding, and it was really a cool mix of stuff. They did like jewel tones, and they used a lot of basic white poly cotton linen that came with the venue, but then they dressed up the head table, the cake table, and the cocktail tables with either gold sequins or like jewel toned velvet. And then every place had a menu that was tied with a napkin and a velvet ribbon that matched the napkin. So it was very cool. It looked good.
Yeah.
And mismatch is cool. Mismatch goes into boho.
I was going to say, it's really kind of the thing right now. Like, different tables, especially even matching square round tables, different chairs. Table 6 has ghost chairs. Table 7 has shivaris. but only I would only mix 2 chairs unless every single chair is a different vintage chair. I've seen that as well. Like every there's like 4 different chairs per, you know, in the whole set. And the other thing I was going to say is, yeah, your accent tables, do the specialty linen on your accent tables, your cake table, your sweetheart table, your gift table. And then if you love your florist, you can do a very simple poly cotton linen in ivory or white, and have the florist make the florals on those flowers pop so that that's your focal point. And that's another way of saving some money on the rentals, because you could go crazy on the florals too. But yeah, I'm Christy. I love the water goblet idea, because it's true. The chargers do lay flat. They do lay flat, and you could just do white china, a poly cotton linen or whatever. Like, have it folded really nicely, and take that velvet bow and wrap it around each plate and tie a cute bow. The velvet ribbon, and tie a cute bow around that. And there you go. And you could source that bow really inexpensively online.
Yeah. And the ribbon kind of like trails over the edge of the table, as does the napkin.
Oh, so how are you like, doing it though?
So the one I did was the napkin is folded into a rectangle, and then the menu went inside of that pocket, you know? And the ribbon tied around the whole thing.
The plate but, and the napkin?
No, just the napkin and the menu. Napkin. And it was placed on top of, actually they didn't have chargers, so it was just at the place setting.
Oh, so there was no plate?
There was no plate.
Oh, because it was buffet? Because,
no, it was a seated, but they came out with the plate because it was a soup course first.
Gotcha. Oh, right.
But what you're saying, that would work too, to tie it around, fully around the plate. It just like, it's that idea of mismatch, and boho, like bohemian, is a little bit messy in like a cool way. So to have things like trailing over the edge of the table helps to dress up.
Absolutely.
The white poly cotton.
It's dimensional. Yeah. Wait, so did you tie it, you know, with not horizontally, but like, let's say landscape wise, you tie it that way and then have the really long bow just hit. Yes. So it was really long.
And the velvet, they bought a lot of velvet ribbon and we used all of it. I mean, it was tied around the fork at the cake table, you know, the two fork. It was on every person's napkin and place setting, and it matched the napkins, which were all different colors. So
You know, I even back in the day when I got married, the trend was to have a thick ribbon, like that really thick, wide and thick material ribbon, and it went around each tier of my cake.
They did some velvet on their cake as well. Mixed in with like the same jewel tones in the cake decor. But yeah, that was a way to keep things simple and to go with what the venue had in terms of like a pretty simple cake and pretty simple white poly cotton linens, and then dressing it up in other ways. So have some fun with things that way.
So but fun. Let us know what you decide. Send us pictures. Okay, last email. This is a longer one, yeah?
Yes, so this one you did answer, so I'll read real quick. Okay. My husband just texted me, like, how much longer are you going to be? Because remember that time he came up here and you saw him?
Yeah. From the he went to the bathroom.
From the computer.
He took off his clothes, got in bed, and was like,
So
boy.
He's, like, not coming up until we're done. Okay. This was email number 4. Complicated family dynamics, lots of backstory. Hi, guys. I wanted to start by saying thank you so much for all your help. Your podcast has really opened my eyes and given me so many great tips and ideas. So here's my situation. It's very complicated. I'm going to explain the best I can. My mother got pregnant with me when she was 19, and my dad was still in high school. He was not ready for a child, so my mom raised me by herself, while also working full-time and becoming a nursing school student. My dad saw me every now and then, but it was when I was younger. I don't remember. He has never been a big part of my life. We exchange Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday texts, and that's about it. In November of 2017, my dad's dad, my grandfather suddenly passed away. My dad and his dad were extremely close, so it rocked his world when he passed away unexpectedly. When this happened, my dad reached out to me to tell me the news and invite me to the funeral. I drove back home for the funeral, and my dad also wanted to get lunch. He took my fiance and I to lunch, and he has been trying harder now to keep in contact with me. We still don't hang out often, but have had the most communication in the past year than we've had in my whole life. I got engaged in July of 2018, which was such an amazing day. Quickly after that, I started worrying about the wedding and my family dynamic. When I was 12, my mother married my stepdad, Brad. Brad and I did not get along for most of high school and college, but now that I'm older, we don't argue anymore, and now I realize that it was probably tough for him too. I have two sisters as well, but we do not share the same dad. When it was just me and my mom, my mother's parents, my grandparents, helped us out a lot. We stayed with them. They helped my mom pay for cheer camp, dance lessons, anything we needed. We would not be where we are today without them. They always tell me that they consider me one of their own, not just their grandchild. So here's where it gets tricky. My father, after never offering to pay for anything of mine growing up, offered to pay for my venue, which was a little over $5,000. I had originally just planned on inviting him and not anyone else on his side of the family, but I now feel guilty. I have no relationship with his family, aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. on that side of the family. But I feel bad that he's paying for the venue but won't have any family there. He hasn't been a good father, but this day is monumental for him too. We had planned on capping our list at 200 people, but with his family invited, we're at 220. I doubt they'll come. Our wedding is 3.5 hours from my hometown where they live, but what if they actually do come? Also, I had always planned for my mom to walk me down the aisle. When I told my grandmother this, she almost seemed disappointed that my grandfather wouldn't be walking me down the aisle. He was the biggest father figure I had, but my mom is my whole heart, and I always considered her my mother and father. Maybe I could do my first dance with my grandpa, but will my stepdad be upset? He's always treated me as his own. Even though we've had a rough past, he really has done a lot for me and taken care of my sisters and I. If my mom walks me down the aisle, who should I dance with, my stepdad or my grandfather? My grandfather is an introvert, so I don't think he'd be comfortable really doing that anyway. I thought I could somehow include him in my ceremony. But then again, being the people pleaser that I am, I still go back to how my dad is going to feel. Everyone in my life will have a part in the wedding, and he won't. No, he hasn't been there for me, but he's been trying harder lately, and that effort hasn't gone unnoticed. Do you see my debacle? Help. And you got to this one first, and did you, like,
pound it out? I pounded this out. I feel like I go for the more, like, emotional ones. I'm seeing a trend here. So my response, thank you so much for your kind words. We are thrilled that we've been able to help you out. And thank you for sharing these intimate details. As you know from listening to the show, family is the number one most complicated subject that our listeners write to us about. Here are some suggestions. Take them or leave them. Personally, I would have my grandfather walk me down the aisle. I know you worship your mother in a million and one ways, and rightly so. She sounds like an incredible woman. I can't imagine how hard it must have been for her to raise you without your father around and at such a young age. She's a superhero in my eyes. Here's the thing. Your grandfather is not only your grandfather, but he's that superwoman's father, and he is pretty fucking amazing. Your grandmother, too. The honor should be his. He, too, sacrificed so much to help raise and provide for you. I mean, most people raise their own kids and then get to retire, have fun, and be just grandparents. Yours, on the other hand, had to go at this parenting thing all over again. So grandpa walks you down the aisle. Mom and stepdad are part of the processional, too. Maybe she holds a small bouquet and he has a boutonniere. This is mom and stepdad. And they walk down the aisle together and to their seats. Your grandmother should also be walked down the aisle as part of the processional. Perhaps grandpa walks her down, seats her, and then returns for you. We do this a lot, by the way, and it's really, really nice. Seats her, walks around and up the side, not back down the main aisle, by the way. As for your father, I'm really happy to hear he is back in your life. I'm sure you have mixed feelings, but there has to be some happiness in there somewhere. It's lovely that your father is chipping in for the wedding. Do not feel in any way, shape, or form obligated to invite any of your dad's side of the family to the wedding. Do not feel guilty about this. These people are not who you know as family. I doubt that your father's offer to pay for the venue is because he wants his side of the family invited. It's because he wants to do this for you. Like you said, he's trying. Let him do this good deed. Later on, if you want to arrange a dinner at your home and invite some of your estranged family to get to know them, that would be awesome. It would be a much better setting, by the way, where you and your then husband can spend quality time connecting with them. Much better setting than your wedding where you don't know these people and you're like, kind of weird, right? I think it would be a really nice gesture to invite your dad to do a reading during the ceremony. And if it won't cause any drama with any of your other family, perhaps put him in the immediate family seating in the first couple of rows for the ceremony. These are two very important roles and only asked of people who you love and want to honor. It's hard for me to make further suggestions without talking to you in person, but this is what I feel are some good compromises to a complicated family situation. And hey, you are special, and you are who you are because of all of these individuals and complications. So remember that. We are sending virtual hugs and kisses to you. Please let us know what you decide.
That's really good advice. I might have answered some of it. I'm thinking, like, what would I have said that? And I may have answered some of it a little bit differently, but hearing your answer makes me think that's a better situation. And I appreciate that you had an answer for who should walk her down the aisle and reasons why. And I think you're right. And I hope she does that. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not just honoring your grandfather. It is also honoring your mother by him walking you down the aisle. And this way you'll get to look at your mom's face because she'll be already down there looking at you, and you'll get to see her as you walk down the aisle and look at everybody that's there to love you and support you guys. And then you can look at your partner standing up there and looking at you, and your grandfather, your granddad, who's been a pillar of strength and constant in your life, will be right next to you, arm in arm. And I think that will be a really nice moment. You'll be glad that you did it that way.
And you know, the other thing is, I don't know if I mentioned this. I don't think I did. During the reception, at some point, if you're not super shy, because some people are, but there's usually a time that you thank your guests. I always suggest it when it's like cake cutting time. Because you've had a few drinks, you've been dancing, like you're more loosened up, you've eaten.
Mention your mom there and then give her a big old hug.
Mention your mom. My God. You know, like, talk about how she is your everything. Make that a public statement and honor her in that way. I think that your words and your emotion will show that so much more in such a more impactful way than her walking you down the aisle, which I also love when moms walk their brides or grooms down the aisle, their children.
And I love it when moms do.
I just really,
you know, a first dance. I think you do the dance with your stepdad for that first dance, and then maybe halfway through, your mom comes up and just gives you both big hugs on the dance floor. I mean, you can do whatever you want in the moment. Just put the plans into place. And then if it feels right in the moment, you know, I mean, maybe give your bouquet instead of doing a bouquet toss. Give your bouquet to your grandmother in a way that is like ceremonial. And you have the power to honor all of these people, including your dad, your real dad, and just keep that in mind. Anything that you do with love and an open heart on your wedding day is going to be honoring them. And you're a good daughter for thinking about all of this.
It's going to be awesome. So please let us know what you do. Did she respond to that?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay. All right.
I think that's it.
That is it, people.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Happy everything. Merry holidays.
The day after Christmas. But whatever holiday you celebrate, happy, happy holidays to you all. And for those of you in the cold areas, keep warm. And for those of you in LA, keep nice and warm. Stay warm. And thank you all so much. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We're so excited for next year. Really exciting things to come already that we're kind of aware of so far. So lots of announcements coming up next year. So happy holidays. Happy New Year. We love you.
Yes. And you can find us as usual, Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, Twitter, TBWP Podcast, our website. Subscribe on iTunes, rate and review us. And you can also support us with a $5 monthly contribution on Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. If you want to call us and leave a voice message, we will play it on a Yawa and answer your question to the best of our ability. And our phone number is
415-723-1625.
Thank you. Love you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy planning. Love you. Love your show.